Now, with the latest from the world of technology, this is the Tech Guide Podcast with Stephen Fenwick.
I quite like the number of apps that are already available.
Tech Guide.
The iPad 2 still beats just about everything on the market. The new iPad has just kicked away even further.
Tech Guide.
I quite enjoyed using it. Great design. The operating system worked hand-in-hand with the hardware as well.
Keeping you updated and educated, this is the Tech Guide Podcast.
This is obviously a hot-selling device.
Tech Guide.
Yeah, we want them to be light. We want them to be portable. And this one's very fast with i7 and i5 processors.
Now, from the studios of techguide.com.au, Stephen Fenwick.
Well, hello and welcome to a special edition of the Tech Guide Podcast, episode 28. And it's brought to you live from Las Vegas from the Consumer Electronics Show. My name is Stephen Fenwick, editor of techguide.com.au. And I'm here in Las Vegas for the International Consumer Electronics Show, which kicks off later this week. I've been here for a couple of days. We've just had our press day, which is the day before the show proper, where all the companies hold their press conferences on the hour and outline what they're going to be showing on the show floor at the Las Vegas Convention Center. It's going to be an exciting week from what I've seen already today at the press day. There's some interesting trends emerging. I think it's more a case of rather than highlighting individual products, it's more about how those products can act together and the connectivity that can be achieved and the way that we can share content and share our experiences and just get all the devices, and I mean all the devices in the home, including devices in the kitchen, the oven, the fridge, the washing machine, the vacuum cleaners, all talking to each other. Just as a bit of background, CES has been a show that's been running since 1967. And it's been the venue where a number of very popular consumer electronic items have been introduced. These include the VCR, the CD player, Blu-ray disc players, high-definition TVs, plasma TVs. These are household products now that we take for granted, but this is the innovation trade show where they were seen for the very first time. Now, I'm going to go through most of the stuff that was revealed at the press conferences today from the major companies, and we'll start off with LG.
This is Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, LG traditionally kick off the CES press day. They do every year. Then the press conference is held at 8 o'clock in the morning, so it's an early start for all the media here. And there's around 3,000 journalists here, and more than 150,000 attendees here at the show. But LG, they got the ball rolling with their press conference, and the message was touching the smart life. That's the line that they were using during this press conference, and it was all about how they wanted to unite the smart products in the home. Of course, it all starts with the TVs and the smartphones. Smartphones are playing a particularly large role in all of these companies' plans. And LG are making a bit of a comeback on the smartphone front with a range of Optimus Android smartphones. And what it's going to enable is this connectivity between these devices in what they're calling a one-touch connection, which is using NFC, near field communication technology, to execute different commands, share different content on various devices. Like, for example, you might just tap the LG smartphone on the side of the TV or the bottom of the TV, and it will then be able to stream content that's contained within the smartphone, like photos, videos, maybe even stream music, those kinds of things. But it doesn't just end there. The smart TV range is quite impressive, but LG also have a very impressive appliance range, including a smart refrigerator and a smart oven and even a smart washing machine. So you could tap your smartphone on the side of the refrigerator and get the contents of the refrigerator so that you know exactly what's in there, what food you need. You can even download recipes, for example, on your smartphone, tap it against the smart oven. It will then send the instructions for cooking that particular recipe to the oven so it chooses the right temperature, cooks for the right amount of time, and does things like that. In the washing machine space, you could check to see how the wash cycle's going. You could even download new wash cycles and apply them to the washing machine. But it's just an easy way to check up on how long the cycle has got to go. Their robot vacuum cleaner can also be accessed wirelessly using your smartphone. There are actually cameras aboard their robotic vacuum cleaner, so you can not only see where in the house the vacuum cleaner is located, you can also look through the cameras and use it as a bit of a monitor to check the house, to check your pets, to check whatever you want to do to see exactly where in the home the vacuum cleaner is. But just back on the TVs, the smart TV range is highlighted by their 4K ultra-high definition television. They did release their 84-inch model late last year, and what they've since done is they've introduced a 55 and 65-inch version of that 4K TV, that ultra-high definition TV as well. Now, ultra-high definition is actually four times the resolution of normal full high-definition television. So massive amount of pixels, about 8 million pixels on the screen for this ultra-sharp picture. But now, well, that will be available in 55 and 65-inch sizes as well. The TVs are also controlled by a new Magic Remote. The Magic Remote is motion-sensitive, so you can not only navigate their smart TV screen, but you can also use it to do things like writing the number of the channel in the air. For example, you want to watch Channel 9, you just draw the Channel 9 in the air with the remote control. It will detect the number you're trying to write and change that channel. It's those little simple enhancements that it's going to make the interactivity even easier to use for customers. There's also the LG, of course, are introducing an OLED range. That's organic light emitting diode. They unveiled these TVs last year here at the Consumer Electronics Show, and they were most impressive. Like, so thin, the screen is so thin, it's actually thinner than a pencil. These LG OLED screens are actually thinner than a smartphone. What they do, the screen is really ultra sharp. To see an OLED TV, it is the best picture you'll ever see on a flat screen television. Really deep blacks, great contrast, rich colours. But LG's TV actually intelligently placed all of the circuitry and the smarts of the TV down in the base. So the screen was just the screen you were looking at. The inputs and all the guts of the TV were down in the base. But the LG announced at their press conference that they are actually going to be releasing the OLEDs into the market in the coming months. They've been delayed. We were expecting them maybe late last year, but no, that slipped to early this year. I think they wanted to get the product right in the manufacturing process, and now they're starting to see that they're going to be ready for the market in the coming months. But after the LG press conference today, I got a chance to catch up with Lambros Skropidis, who's the LG marketing manager, to hear what he had to say and get his opinion on where LG's heading. Lambros, thanks for joining us. We've just seen the LG press conference. The emphasis is very much on the word smart now, and it's not just in terms of entertainment, but all around the house. Would you agree with that?
Look, absolutely. We're trying to own the smart proposition in the marketplace, and really, for a long time, we've been looking at the whole concept of the connected home and bringing that to reality, not just being a long-term vision for us, but bringing that concept to market in the short term.
It seems from what we saw here that the rubber is really going to hit the road this year in terms of not just talking about it, but actually executing it in the home in terms of the smart touch and sharing content and even the appliances. It's taken over the whole home, not just on the entertainment side.
Absolutely. Look, there have been some products that have promised that in the past. The issue has been the simplicity. Often the technology's been there, but it's been all too hard for the consumer. And you probably saw today, a key part of what we're doing is trying to make it simple, fun, and exciting for people. And I think the simplicity part is now a reality and is going to be in Australian homes in the not-too-distant future.
Just on that, I think the one part of it was saying that the customer shouldn't have to know, read a big instruction book and know how the technology works. It should just work. We're seeing that now across the line of products in the lounge room, in the laundry, in the kitchen. And it's all, it seems to be, driven also by the smartphone, which LG is also going to be really focusing on in 2013.
Absolutely. I think a key component for us making it a reality is being a strong player in the mobile phone category. We've got some good products coming out in the next 3 months or so. The Optimus G, I think, is really going to pave the way for us to re-enter the phone market in a big way and make all these great concepts you saw today a reality.
Now, on the TV front, of course, we saw the OLED TV, which was seen here last year, but has taken some time to produce, but also the ultra-high definition. So you're obviously taking a leadership position in the TV front as well.
Absolutely. We've long been a leader in the category, and I think with the breakthroughs we've had in 3D, ultra-high definition coming out this year, and next year we plan to lead the OLED category.
I noticed too that they said in the US that the OLED TVs are going to go on sale early this year. Can we expect the same in Australia?
Definitely. We're just scheduling a release date with our retailers at the moment. We're hoping to be talking to the local consumers March, April time, hopefully, about this product.
And in terms of ultra-high definition, that was we saw already the 84-inch TV in market in Australia, but now that's going to be joined by the 55-inch and a 65-inch version.
Well, certainly we're producing it as a company globally. Again, whether or not the smaller sizes are available in Australia really depends on the appetite of local retailers. We've got them here at CES this year, so that's exciting. They'll be looking at them firsthand, and hopefully they'll be telling us they too want to bring them to Australia.
Just moving back to the kitchen just quickly, we saw that there was technology to check to download recipes and send them to your oven, and also check the washing cycle. The technology is going to allow us to put our feet up, I think, in the home.
Well, I think we're still going to have to do some work. We're still going to have to load those machines. But, look, I think for a lot of people, they want some peace of mind. They want some control. They want to be able to do what they want to do and just make have a quick glance and see what's going on with those appliances. So it's early days in that, but I think it's quite exciting.
And in the refrigerator washing machine market, you're quite in Australia, you're sort of near the top of the market there, isn't that right?
Look, absolutely. In the washing machine market, we lead that market. We offer some fantastic products which consumers love. We're very excited by that. We've had some great innovations in the refrigerator area with our door-in-door product. Consumers are very excited by that product, and there's some more to come, some really good stuff coming in the first half of the 2013.
No worries, Lambro. Well, I look forward to seeing the LG products on the stand. Thanks for your time.
Been a pleasure. Thank you.
Well, the other major press conference of the day was held by Samsung. Samsung's well known for trying to own CES. They usually have the largest stand, they have the largest press conference, and today was no exception on press day. They had the largest ballroom of any of the other companies. There were people lining up for an hour and a half before the press conference actually started to get in to hear the latest news and see the latest products revealed by Samsung. Now, the highlight of the press conference was Samsung entering the ultra-high-definition TV space with an 85-inch Ultra HD 4K television. I found that a little bit amusing. They had one extra inch than the LG TV. They just trumped them by one inch. The Korean companies are very competitive there. But the TV itself, though, was displayed in an interesting way. The TV is going to be available in a special frame, a gallery frame, they call it. It almost looks like a blackboard frame. So the TV is positioned within the frame. It can be moved up and down within the structure of the frame, and also tilted back and forward. But they showcased that by displaying actually pictures of Sydney, would you believe, during the press conference. But it was really, the picture quality, of course, was superb. And again, four times the resolution of full high-definition TV. I think 4K is something that a lot of companies are attempting to releasing later this year. But apart from that, the 85-inch ultra-high-definition TV, We did hear that they're also going to be displaying a 110-inch model of that television on the show floor at CES. They said they couldn't bring it into the press conference because it wouldn't fit in through the doors very easily at the ballroom at the Mandalay Bay where the press day was held today. So I'm going to be heading straight over to the Samsung booth to check out their 110-inch model. But what they've also done too, they've also unveiled a new range of their LED smart TVs, and including the flagship TV, the F8000, which will be available in sizes up to 75 inches. The F8000 is actually Samsung's first TV to include a quad-core processor, so it's up to three times faster than models that were only produced a year ago. But apart from the design changes, there's been a huge update in terms of the interactivity, the interactions, and the smart hub interface on the smart TVs. I think the most significant thing that we've seen is the way that you can actually interact with the TV with a technology called S Recommendation, which is, allows users to literally talk to the TV and say, is there anything interesting on TV or any good movies on right now? Or can you find me movies starring Tom Cruise? So just by using these conversational speech and just everyday talk, you don't have to use these specific phrases and other words. It then uses this technology, a search engine technology, to suggest to come up with suggestions based on your taste and what you've been watching. So that's an interesting way forward. The Smart Hub, as I said, has also been upgraded and improved. It now allows people to page through the Smart Hub as if it were pages of a tablet. So each screen representing different types of content from videos, music and photos, apps, social media, and other content like that. So it's becoming, they've really streamlined the whole interactivity. One thing with the, I should have mentioned back on the LG segment, was the fact that they've also introduced smart interactions, gesture control, whereas Samsung have also had gesture control, which involves waving your whole arm in front of the television. LG's has refined their gesture control to such a point that all it requires is for a viewer to just use their finger to navigate to different channels, increase the volume, and interact with the interface in that fashion. But Samsung, it appears, have not changed their gesture control apart from their S recommendation, their voice interaction technology as well. And interestingly, they were working with the help of Macquarie University and the Macquarie Dictionary to help them develop the large data bank of words and phrases that can be used with the TV, so that obviously people are going to be speaking to the TV with an Australian accent, and it will also answer in an Australian accent as well. Now, apart from the TVs, Samsung, that was the focus for them at their press conference. They did also reveal a number of other products, including a new 2D and 3D camera with interchangeable lens. It's the NX300. They also showed off the new Series 7 laptops as well, running Windows 8. And also they unveiled the 4G version of the Galaxy Note 10.1. So it's going to be interesting to see Samsung competing across so many connected devices. They mentioned during their press conference that they sold more than 66 million connected devices in just Q3 of 2012. And these include, of course, smartphones, tablets, TVs, and the computers. Their computer range is actually growing and becoming actually quite popular across enterprises and businesses. So the computer area, the computer market for Samsung is certainly something that's going to see some growth in 2013. But I've written full reviews actually of all the press conferences at CES, and if you want to read more about all of those I've already spoken about and the ones I'm about to speak about, you can go to techguide.com.au. Now, Now, Tech Guide, the podcast, is brought to you by Netgear. They're our sponsors for the Tech Guide podcast, and they're the number one brand for wireless products in Australia. Now, did you or someone in your household maybe get a new tablet or a smartphone for Christmas? With the amount of mobile devices now connecting to the home, a solid Wi-Fi connection is more important than ever. So if you've experienced any annoying Wi-Fi dead spots around your home when using your mobile or wireless devices, Netgear has a range of Wi-Fi extenders that will boost your existing wireless signal and improve your online experience. Universal compatibility means you can keep all of your current wireless equipment, and CD-less installation makes setup easy on mobile devices. Netgear has Wi-Fi extender to suit any size household, from the compact wall plug Wi-Fi booster for mobile up to the 4-port dual band Wi-Fi range extender, which is perfect for streaming HD video content and also maximizing your online home theater experience. So if you want to stay connected and boost your Wi-Fi coverage to improve your online experience in every corner of your house, check out Netgear's Wi-Fi range extenders at netgear.com.au/boost my Wi-Fi.
You're listening to Tech Guide with Stephen Fenwick.
Well, moving along to one of the other major manufacturers here at CES, and that's Panasonic. Panasonic announced not too many different TVs. They've announced a range of 32 TVs, as a matter of fact, but no mention of OLED, no mention of 4K, Panasonic sticking to LED and plasma. And they are 32 models, 16 being LED, 16 being plasma. But what they have announced, though, are a few interesting interactive features to improve the smarts of the TV, of their Smart Viera TV range. And one of those features is the My Home Screen, which allows users to personalize their viewing experience on the TV. So individual members of the household can actually customize the TV home screen to give them quick access to their favorite content, their favorite apps, their favorite sites. And what it does, the Panasonic Plasma and LED Viera smart TVs actually have a built-in camera in the new range. So what the cameras do is they incorporate facial recognition, so it could recognize which member of the household is actually watching the TV, sitting in front of the TV, and then presenting the home screen that's for that respective person. So it makes accessing your content really easily. They've also added a little bit of interactivity with some voice guidance and voice interaction. So you can simply talk to the TV to access your content a little quicker, change the channel, things like that. But also sharing of content was also something that they touched on, sharing content not only from Android devices but also iOS devices. So we've all got smartphones, we've all got tablets, and Panasonic actually did a pretty cool demonstration of how their Smart Viera TVs can actually accept content from a smartphone or a tablet that reside on the same network as the panel. And how they did this, a person approached the screen with an iPad, for example, which had a picture on the screen. And what they did, they simply flicked the picture towards the television, and a couple of seconds later, that picture appeared on the Panasonic Smart Viera screen. But it didn't end there. I thought that was a pretty cool feat, getting that content off the iPad or smartphone onto the screen just with a gesture. But what they did next is once the picture was on the screen, they showed that you can then edit the screen with a touch pen. The picture with a touch pen. So in this demonstration, there was a picture of some kids on the beach, and once it was on the screen, they pulled out the smart touch pen and then were able to write on the screen in various colors. And once they were happy with that result, anyone in the home with their device on that same network as the TV can then grab a copy of that picture simply by swiping it off the screen, off the TV screen, back towards the iPad or tablet or smartphone, so they've got a copy of that image, the edited image, that they can take home for themselves. So while Panasonic didn't announce any new types of TVs in terms of 4K or OLED TVs. They were the only company actually not to announce 4K and OLED TVs at CES. They still did offer these new smart interactive features, voice control, my home screen, so a way to get your content and aggregate it and access it a lot easier. Another interesting product that Panasonic did introduce too was a bone conduction headphone. Now, this isn't your typical pair of headphones that you actually wear in and over your ears. What it does, it uses bone conduction. So it sends the vibrations of the sound through the bone in the back of your ear into your auditory nerve. So you're still hearing the music or the voices or whatever you happen to be listening to through your bone rather than through your ear. And what this does, it not only lets you hear the sounds and hear the voices, but it also leaves your ears open. So you don't have a headphone over the top of your ears. You can actually still hear the outside world. So a good thing for maybe for people who want to exercise, they might want to hear some music, but still want to be able to hear the traffic. You know, they may be riding a bike or whatever. They still need to hear the outside world just for safety's sake. And coincidentally, the bone conduction headphones are actually water resistant because the entire exterior housing of the headphones actually contain no air holes whatsoever. So that makes them sweat and drip proof, which you know, there again makes them good a good exercise companion if people wanted to take them jogging with them. But yeah, the Panasonic press conference, no new TVs, but some interesting new technology to check out. If you want to read that story, it's at techguide.com.au. Well, let's move along to Sony. Sony to traditionally have their press conference, their CES press conference at the end of press day. LG starts at 8 o'clock in the morning. Sony ends the day, starts theirs off usually at 5 o'clock, but not at the same venue as the other companies. Sony always have their CES press conference actually on the show floor at their CES booth. Now, Sony, coming into CES, everyone was expecting Sony to come up with some big products. They didn't have the best year last year. They're looking to have a big 2013, looking to really hit the ground running with some cool products. And I think they've introduced some interesting items here at CES. The first one being the Xperia Z, which is their brand new 5-inch smartphone that it runs the Android operating system, but incorporates the best of the company's technology in one device. So it uses the Xperia HD engine for the screen. It uses its camera technology for the 13-megapixel camera on board. It actually is the first mobile device to feature HDR video recording. That's high dynamic range. The first of its kind, on a first time seen on a mobile device, that HDR video recording. But also on aboard the smartphone, the Xperia Z is NFC, near field communication, and it too lies at the center of Sony's connectivity story using that one-touch interaction. One touch means you can actually take the Sony, the Xperia Z, touch it on a speaker dock, touch it on a pair of headphones, touch it on a soundbar, touch it on a Blu-ray player or even a Bravia television, and instantly the content you want to share is appearing on the screen or piping through the speakers. So it just makes that sharing of the content even easier. Literally one touch interaction, which let's face it, is something that customers have wanted, that simple connection. It's all right, we've been talking for years about how the home, the connected home, and how everything's going to talk to each other. But I think this is the first year where I've seen real evidence that the rubber's going to hit the road. It's actually going to happen. And NFC and that simple interactivity between products is something that's going to actually help that along the way. But what Sony also introduced, apart from the Xperia Z, was some more 4K TVs. Sony last year introduced their 84-inch model, the $25,000 84-inch 4K model. A brilliant TV. Very expensive, but you do get a lot for the money. It's an excellent TV, brilliant picture quality. But what they've done is they've also joined that 84-inch model with two smaller models, a 55-inch and 65-inch 4K Ultra HD TVs. They've also upgraded their Bravia line to include a new tri-luminous picture technology to help colour reproduction and even richer colours, higher, great contrast, and that'll be seen, the triluminous display technology on the higher end models. But Sony also pulled a little surprise at the end of their press conference and actually unveiled a 4K OLED TV. Now, it should be explained, Sony introduced the first OLED TV that I ever saw back in 2007. But back then, the TV was only 11 inches, and it would cost about $3,500, about the same price as a 50-inch plasma at the time. But that OLED technology was sort of was bubbling away at Sony, and they didn't really produce a bigger TV until the companies like LG and Sony, and Samsung came in and really made a noise about them last year. Well, now Sony have introduced their own 4K model, a 4K OLED model. So not only is it OLED, it's also 4K ultra high definition. But interestingly, when Kaz Hirai, the Sony president, came to literally unveil the TV, there was a bit of a malfunction backstage. I think the computer attached to the 4K TV crashed, and the TV, rather than it displaying a beautiful picture, simply had a blue error screen, a window screen that indicated that the device needed to be rebooted. A little bit embarrassing, so we'll have to head down to the CES show floor to really see the quality of the Sony 4K OLED TV. But plenty to see, though, on the Sony stand. They've also released new cameras and other audio devices, as well as a range of Bravia TVs. I've gone through and outlined most of them at techguide.com.au. And it wouldn't, we should make mention of Netgear's CES press conference, seeing they were, they're a sponsor of our program here. They unveiled a number of wireless products that really takes us a step closer to the reality of a smart home. We've all talked about smart homes, and it was sort of once just the domain of the rich, and people thought, well, geez, I need to be a multimillionaire to afford all this interactivity, this connectivity. But Netgear's proven that wireless products in the home can really bring us that step closer. And they introduced a few new products, including a wireless home monitoring camera, a streaming wireless player, as well as a dual-band Wi-Fi range extender, the normal wall plug edition, as well as an 802.11ac ADSL modem router. Now, with the ViewZone wireless camera, it's only a tiny camera, fits in the palm of your hand, and it can wirelessly connect to your network, and you can place it around your house. Very easy to mount. There's a little magnetic mount that's on the back of the camera, and that you can also stick on the wall, and easy to move around the house. And that what you can do, you can monitor the feeds of these cameras on your smartphone or on a browser. So whether you're in anywhere around the world, anywhere you've got an internet connection, you can monitor your home, whether you want to keep an eye on your holiday house, your pets, your kids, your office. These cameras, the ViewZone cameras from Netgear, can do it. And they also introduce a night vision model as well. Their Neo TV Prime streaming player now includes Google TV. So not only can you stream your content, your music and video to your TV, virtually turning a normal TV into a smart TV, this product can now do. But the Neo TV also comes with Google TV on board, so that gives you a lot of options in terms of accessing even more content, apps, music, videos, and even allows you to browse the web. The remote control is actually two-sided. It's got a full QWERTY keyboard on one side and a trackpad and the other normal remote controls on the other. The Wi-Fi range extenders have been a very popular product for Netgear, but what they've included now, they've included a new model, a dual-band Wi-Fi range extender that also has the ability for you to connect products using the Ethernet connection or a stereo, a 3.5mm headphone connection, so you can actually connect it to a stereo system and maybe stream music from that across your network. And also comes the universal dual-band Wi-Fi range extender also now has AirPlay compatibility, so you can now stream your music through the range extender now as well. So it satisfies Android users, satisfies iOS users, and helps fill up those Wi-Fi dead spots in your home. But I've written a full report of all those Netgear products at techguide.com.au. Well, that's the end of our show here at CES. We're going to spend the rest of the week exploring the show floor, checking out all of these new products. There's something, there's more than 20,000 new products that are being unveiled here at CES, and I'll be walking the show floor. It's a massive show floor, more than 1.9 million square feet, as a matter of fact, of products to look through there. It's going to be an interesting time. This is my 9th consumer electronics show that I've attended, so I've got a little bit of experience here, so I kind of know what to expect, but just getting around and seeing all the products, trying to meet all the people that you've made appointments with, it's quite a week here in Las Vegas. So for those people who are thinking I'm just kicking back at the roulette table, you're wrong. I actually put in a 14-hour day today at Press Day, finishing off with this podcast that you're hearing right now. It is a lot of work. We do have a bit of fun though when we can, but it is a lot of hard work to see all these products and bring them to you. We'd love to hear from you too. If you want to get in touch, you can email us at info@techguide.com.au. Send us your help desk questions. We'll resume that in a week or so. And also thanks to Netgear, our proud sponsors, Australia's number one brand of home Wi-Fi products that can get the most out of your home network. We'll talk to you next week. In the meantime, stay safe and stay connected.